Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Subro's Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Annamalai Jayaraj from Batlivala & Karani Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Shubham. Welcome to Subro's Limited 1Q FY26 post-results conference call. From Subro's Limited management, we have with us today Mr. Pramod Kumar Dugal, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Hemant Kumar Agarwal, Chief Financial Officer and Senior Vice President Finance, and Mr. Sukhvinder Singh Gill, AVP Finance. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Pramod Kumar Dugal for the opening remarks, to be followed by question and answer session. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Jayaraj. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Subro's investor call for Q1 FY26. The Indian auto industry is experiencing a mixed performance in April to June 2025, with some segments seeing the growth and others facing the slowdown. Overall, passenger vehicle domestic sales were slightly down with 1.4% negative year-on-year, while two-wheeler domestic sales have saw a dip of 6%. This is partly in line with the seasonal pattern, as manufacturing typically offers discounts in the final month of the fiscal year to push inventory, followed by the natural slowdown in the new quarter. However, there are positive trends in certain areas, such as export for passenger vehicles grew by 13%, and two-wheeler exports grew by 23%. Overall export reached to the record high in Q1, which is testimony for our global competitiveness. The transformation towards electrification and high-value segments, such as UVs and hybrids, continues to accelerate the growth prospects. Subro has stayed committed for driving innovation and growth, which was crucial for challenging these industries' shift. Subro has registered a growth of 8.4% in Q1 FY26. In this growth journey, CV segment trucks, which has again played an important role with a growth of 34% in Q1 due to the new emerging notification implementation for Aircon in the last-mile connectivity, as well as N2N3 category. CV segment bus has also played an important role in the growth, which has registered 21% sales growth in Q1 FY26 as compared to the corresponding quarter of last year. There is 15.43% improvement in Q1 profitability as against the corresponding quarter. This is because of our aggressive push on improving internal efficiencies and localization, which are constantly resulting into our results. The results for Q1 FY26 have been shared with the stock exchange yesterday and posted on our website also. Let me elaborate the summary of the result one by one. Subro has performed better than the industry in Q1, with a growth of 8.45%. The company has achieved a revenue of 878 crores during Q1 FY26. The share of business in passenger vehicle air conditioning market is 42% in this quarter, and share of business truck AC is improved to 44%, and bus AC segment is now improved to 16%. Related to operational performance, the company has realized an EBITDA of 87.70 crores in Q1, which is 10.02% of the net sale, as against the EBITDA of 80.42%, which was 9.96% of the net sale in the corresponding quarter of last year. There is an improvement of EBITDA by 9.05% as compared to the corresponding quarter. Profit before tax in Q1 is 54.44 crores, which is 6.22% of the net sale. PBT margin with the corresponding quarter has improved by 15.43%. PAT in Q1 is 40.66, which is 4.65% of the net sale. PAT margin with the corresponding quarter of the last year has improved by 16.48%. Now, on the business update, over the past few quarters, we have demonstrated a strong and consistent performance trajectory driven by the robust financial indicators, including the growth in EBITDA, PBT, and PAT due to our sustained top-line expansion. This momentum reflects the disciplined execution and sharp market alignment, and we are confident that we will carry this momentum further. In the EV space, we have started aligning to the customer SOPs. Last quarter, we have done SOP for Maruti Suzuki EV model also, and before that quarter, we have done for Mahindra and Mahindra. So both the projects now at a ramp-up stage, and we are expecting the results coming quarter. From the green mobility, for CNG, hybrid and EV component, our contribution to total sale is right now around 20%, and we are expecting this to grow further. During the quarter, we have started production for Y17, that is the new project coming in from Kharkhoda Maruti Suzuki, supplied from our Manesar plant. So that SOP has also started. It is at a ramp-up phase. In anticipation of the Government of India's mandate for air conditioning cabin in all trucks, starting from June, all our preparation is complete and we have started the production from 8th June. So the impact will come for full quarter in quarter 2 this year. On the railway side, we are becoming stronger. We are now participating in large tenders. So once these tender results will be released, we will update to all of you. Our project at Kharkhoda is progressing well. We have taken all regulatory approvals now to start the full swing construction activities. This project will start with 500,000 of capacity, which will be scalable to 1,000,000 as per the customer requirement. This project will be operational between April to June quarter 26, and this will be a substantial investment for us in green mobility as well as in green factory. Before I conclude, let me summarize the overall result. Revenue from operation 878 crores with a growth of 8.45%, EBITDA of 87.7 crores with a growth of 9%, PBT of 54.44 crores with a growth of 15.43%, and PAT of 40.66 in the quarter with a growth of 16.48%. Thank you very much. Now we can take the questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Vijay from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question and good morning. Sir, I wanted to check with you, can you share what will be our revenue share segment-wise? So basically for passenger vehicle, commercial vehicle, railways, etc. You can just give us a broad highlight, how should we look into it, and what is your expectation probably in 2 years, 3 years down the line, how should it shape up?
Okay, so two questions you have. So first on the revenue-wise segment, so passenger vehicle segment has contributed around 700 crore out of 875. Engine cooling module has contributed around 106 crores. Bus segment in quarter is 12 and truck is around 45. Railway is 9 and the rest is contributed by other segments. Now on the second part on expectations, so right now a lot of disruptions, geopolitical are happening in supply chain disruptions as well. So we are watchful for the industry, how it moves, including the rear earth availability and the model level plans of all the OEMs. So this quarter would be very crucial now to observe the market trend, and based on that we will align our production plans also. But overall, I think throughout the year we'll have a very moderate progress on the automotive sector.
Okay. Have you also seen any impact because of the production cut by on e-Vitara from Maruti Suzuki because of the magnet?
We don't have any direct reflection of any production cut, but there are volume fluctuations. We don't know what are the exact reason for that, because this rare earth is not directly impacting to our products. So if OEM is changing schedules, that may be because of the availability of component, or maybe because of the market fluctuations. So we are just following their schedule.
Okay. And so generally, these types of fluctuation, do they result into increased operational inefficiency, like in terms of starting and stopping the production, or delay the scheduling of the delay in flight scheduling or anything like that, or is it just the normal course of business?
I'll say it is normal course. Yes, due to frequent model change, there would be some impact on the operational efficiencies, but it is not very significant. So it is part of our normal business transition.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you and have a good day. I'll fall back to the queue.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Arjun Khanna from Kotak Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for taking my question. The first question is, now that N2 and N3 AC cabins have been made regulatory compulsory, what would our market share be? Because earlier they would just be SOPs, now we would have a complete sense. So what would you believe our market share to be?
So in N2 truck segment, N2, N3, and also in some cases N1, which is having a tonnage of 3.5, also require aircon. So our market share would be in the range of 44-45%.
Sure. And in terms of key customers, if you can mention, who are the OEMs you work with? Or do we work with all OEMs and our share of business is slightly lower?
So we have taken businesses from Ashok Leyland, Tata Motor, SML Isuzu, Mahindra Trucks and Buses, and also Daimler.
So effectively, we work with most players in that sense. Is it generally 100% of a model, or is it that there are certain models assigned to us and certain to competitors?
So in thermal business, normally one model is dedicated to one body, or one engine model is dedicated to one thermal supplier. So it is by model.
Okay, sure. Thank you. That helps. And essentially, do you believe this to be the stabilized market share, or is there a scope for winning further orders, because we seem to be supplying all the OEMs? So given their diversity targets in terms of number of suppliers, do you believe this to be closer to peak market share for us?
Yes, there is an opportunity available, because this transition was from where as is cabins, we need to introduce something as part of aircon. So as the model change will happen, as the cabin quality will improve from the OEM, then there is a possibility that we can introduce better technology product, more feature. That opportunity always available.
Sure. So that would be once the platforms change, etc., we could look at gaining share.
Correct.
Okay. Sir, on the second question, in terms of margins, just want to understand, so we've seen an inflation in the cost of ref gas prices. I understand the charging will be a very small number of it in the overall price of the overall AC blower, condenser, etc., compressor, etc. But is that a factor also in margins coming off?
What is the reference of inflation, you said?
So refrigerant gases, so I understand 134A prices have moved up off late in the past 1 year if I look at inflation in key raw materials. So is that a factor, or what would you believe to be the key factor for EBITDA margins sequentially falling off, sir?
So normally our commodities and critical alloys are compensated by customer in a quarter lag time.
Right.
So whatever inflationary rates are there, they are compensated in subsequent quarter. But if it continues to increase, that the impact will be there on the bottom. But overall, if you see as compared to the previous quarter, our EBITDA margin has improved. Not previous, but corresponding quarter. But previous quarter,
right.
Because of the revenue number, that operational cost apportionment, that will have some impact. But from the previous quarter, the revenue is different because quarter four in
right.
This is always a peak quarter.
Sure, sure. So that operating deleverage, I get that, sir. And going forward, we were on a trajectory where we believed that double-digit margins would be sustainable. Eventually we would like to go to 12%. Does that target yet remain, given this volatile environment?
Our hopes have to be always positive, so we are still maintaining that, and we have to strive for that, because these disruptions sometime will become a new normal, so we have to deal with
it. Right. And are we being able to price on these disruptions?
So this is all part of the negotiation with OEM. Some cases they are willing to, but some cases they are trying to wait for the stabilization, because right now disruptions are too many.
Sure, fair enough. And lastly, just if you could touch upon CAPEX for this year, how do you see this year pan out in terms of CAPEX that we are anticipating?
So our regular CAPEX for new product development and maintenance would be in the range of 120-130 crore. That is as is, and we are consistent every year to spend these kind of money
right.
to replace maintenance CAPEX or so. This is other than the new greenfield project which we are coming up with Kharkhoda. For that, 150
right.
crore is allocated and for greenfield project.
Sure. And a decision has not yet been made on electric compressors?
Not yet.
Right. Thank you very much, and wishing you all the best in the future, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Mayur Parkeria from Wealth Managers Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir, and thank you for taking my questions. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Yes. Sir, a decent set of numbers, but on the margin side, slightly lower than what we were hoping for in terms of, based on the commentary, and we were looking for double digits and finally 12%, so slightly lower and the kind of growth. So you partially mentioned that, March quarter was normally high. Normally better than other start of the quarters. But from that perspective, just some more color. Is it also a function of kind of product mix, and we believe we'll be back to the incremental improvement in EBITDA margins again, what we were hoping for, or do you believe it is on track based on the seasonality? And we'll be able to recover as we go ahead during the year.
So that is what this industry is always. First quarter, third quarter is lower than second and fourth. So this is how the trend is in past maybe 10-15 years. So margin improvement, of course, one major element is the material cost and any fluctuation in our material cost because of any commodity and economic indicator. But the other part is on the operational efficiency. As the revenue will grow, operational efficiencies will result better into the overall contribution. So we are hopeful as our quarter will be comparable to quarter four, we'll be able to achieve that level of EBITDA margin.
I'm trying to just understand a little more timeline specific, sir. We have been maintaining 12% as our endeavor for some time. Do we think from a modeling perspective fairly that by FY27 we can look at that kind of number, or is it going to be earlier or later? So just qualitatively your understanding, because it's been a while since we had that aspiration, and given the disruption, how do we see that number timeline? Is it fair to look at that timeline?
So from 8% to around last quarter, we did around 10.9% or so. That's how our last 3 years journey was. And our aim for 12% within next 2 years is still intact. provided any disruption is not negative for us, but so far our plans are aligned to that target.
That's great to hear. So final question from my side on railways, what kind of order sizes and some qualitative, if you can, you mentioned that, you know, we'll have, we are participating and we'll see some positive news from there or development from there. What kind of order sizes do we normally work with there and the execution cycle there? What some understanding from there?
So normally railway is a tender business. So there is no regular month-on-month business is available. Once tender is received, there is always a timeline between 6 months to 9 months to execute that. So that large tender which we received last year, which was to the tune of around 28 to 30 crore rupees, that is within next 2 months we'll be completing the execution of that. So next two or three tenders which are again similar or larger than the last tender are in pipeline. So we are just waiting for the tender release time and the completion time. Maybe between quarter two to quarter three, they will be concluded.
And for that, within 2 to 3 months, we have to deliver.
So normally time is, if tender is large, then 6 to 9 months is the delivery time normally allocated. If tender is small, then it is within 1 quarter.
Thank you, sir. I'll come back with the question next in line. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Mihir Vora from Aquarius. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. So my question was basically on the passenger vehicle side, wherein yes, we are strong with Maruti, but in terms of other companies like say Mahindra and Tata Motors, how are we gaining more traction there? Like we are already there into the BEVs for Mahindra, but is there some more RFQs in process where we see Mahindra's part of business share increasing for us?
Yes, of course. With engagement with Mahindra is now going multifold. We are in the process of handling few RFQs with them. Maybe quarter two we'll be able to conclude that, and next conference call or maybe before that we'll be able to release the new snippet on that. In addition to that, our engagement with other passenger vehicle manufacturer also is ongoing. So maybe next 2 quarters we'll be able to conclude. A passenger vehicle segment definitely is very important, especially when the transition is happening in hybrid as well as on the EV space. So that's why we need to tap on new businesses so that there is a consistency and we can grow along with the market opportunity.
Right. Sir, and in terms of ICE vehicles with Mahindra, were we there, you know, we had a presence there, or we were negligible into the Mahindra ICE products? Like what would be our share of business there?
So in Mahindra ICE, we had a share of business of around 22-23%. And still we are maintaining that. Now our next drive is to increase that share of business in ICE beyond 20%.
All right, sir. So then in the last few calls, we had mentioned that, you know, Maruti will be doing the hybrid production in Kharkhoda. So and we were on a view that, you know, supplies were going to start from Q1. So are we on track on that, or has there been a delay on that front?
Maruti Kharkhoda has already started production during this month, that is end of June or July. July is, I think, official SOP. We started supplying for two models which are getting produced there from our currently Manesar plant, where we have some surplus capacity available. But going forward, when the peak volume at Kharkhoda will happen for two or three models further, our new plant, Kharkhoda, will be ready by next quarter one of FY27. So we'll start or ship production to that location.
All right. Okay, sir. So entire 150 crore for the Kharkhoda capex will be deployed in this year, or it would be in a phases?
So it would be partially in this year, partially go to the first quarter of next year.
All right. Okay, sir. That's all from us. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Kush Shah. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, please.
So thanks for the opportunity. I just had a couple of questions. So I wanted to ask you about the content vehicle with regards to our EV hybrid. So if we consider our ICE vehicles as a base of 100, what would be our increase in content for hybrid and EVs?
So I think we had discussed this subject in a couple of calls before also. We need to see ICE versus EV without compressor, because that would be more comparable. If the base for other than compressor of ICE 100, so in EV it would be between 120 to 130 based on the different models. Compressor is completely a different product because the application is not through the engine, it is through the battery. So that would be between 3x or 4x of the compressor of ICE.
Understood. All right. And what would be a current localization?
In EV space, other than compressor, I think we are comparable to the ICE. Maybe the localization percentage would be between 60 to 65%.
Okay, all right. And any target to increase our localization?
That all depends upon how the volume of EV will grow, how rapidly it would be, because right now the base is very small. Investments will not be viable to go for localization at this scale.
Understood. All right. And coming to our exposure to the yen currency, what would be any impact if there would be an depreciation in the yen?
So since the currency is back-to-back reimbursed by the customer with the quarter lag, so we do not see any impact of the currency fluctuation. However, we have a very prudent hedging policy which we book through the forward covers.
Understood. All right. And so one last question regarding the home ACs. What would be our expectation for the home ACs going forward?
So home AC, as I mentioned before also, we were muted on very aggressive push to the market because of the volatility of commodities, and the pricing was not supported by the customer. We went slow on that, and this time the season was spoiled because of excessive monsoon or flood situation in some part of the country. We are now preparing for the next season, and still we have another 2 quarters to conclude our business engagement with the customer. So next meeting I think we'll be able to clarify better.
All right. Sure, sir. Thanks for the info.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Puneet Jhaveri from Jhaveri & Co. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thanks much for the opportunity and congrats on a decent set of numbers. Just one couple of questions. You mentioned bus revenues 12 crores in quarter one. Is that correct?
Can you repeat your question in the last part?
Just want to understand, the bus revenue you mentioned for this quarter is 12 crore. Is that correct?
Yes, bus is 12 crore.
And so you mentioned the previous quarter that roughly about 2700 crores was from passenger vehicle, and truck revenue you had given as 125 crore. So is the bus part included in that? And if not, could you give the last year's number for the bus revenue?
Last year bus was around 44 crores.
And so do you expect that this is going to increase substantially this year, or is it that we go in a normal course of business? And where do you see the truck revenue as well this year? If not a number, any kind of range that you can provide, given that for trucks with the new regulations for in cabin ACs, do you see a substantial increase in the truck revenue business as well? I think last quarter you mentioned that the truck revenue was roughly about for last year about 125 crores.
Correct. So, two aspects. One is on the bus side. Since there is no regulation driving the thermal product in buses, but it is mainly because of the AC penetration in bus. So, last year we did around 44. This year we will be very hopefully crossing around 50 crore plus. On the truck side, last year we did around 125 crore, and with the regulation starting from 8th June or the middle of June, we are hopeful that we will be crossing I'm just giving a guesswork of 150 to 165 crores or so.
And sir, is it any kind of, and pardon me for this, so is there any kind of difference that you have in realizations and margins compared to passenger vehicles? I'm sure that there will be some. If not a number, if you can provide any kind of quantification or any kind of output on that aspect?
So margins will be comparable. We have not compromised while growing in this segment on the margin side. It would be comparable to PV segment, to the truck segment. So there is no differentiation for us.
And in terms of in terms of buses, you did mention that largely since there is no regulation, it's more AC led. But for are you already a key customer for all the other EV makers specifically? Because we are seeing that also increasing. And for the bus makers within the new, the PM's e-seva schemes amongst others, it's become a little easier for them to participate in their bus tenders as well. So are you already a customer for, you know, the likes of the startups like JBM as well as Switch Mobility amongst others?
So we are in the process of, because each EV product requires a formal approval from the OEM aligning to the ECU and other alignment to the other components. So we are participating in the tenders coming in next 2 years' time, which is majorly for EV, 9-meter and 12-meter. And our engagement with our existing customer to penetrate into EV also is ongoing.
And so just one final question. You mentioned about Mahindra, and Mahindra, you're already present in the EV, so congratulations for that. And you mentioned 22 to 23% share in their ICE portfolio. Is there anything that you can give for Tata Motors as well, or is it that you're developing their business in this particular year and going forward as well?
Tata Motors, we are engaging with them for their forthcoming model transition. So still it is at an initial stage at RFQ and a technical specification being included in the RFQs.
And will that be largely similar for Hyundai as well, because they also have their own supply chain coming from outside? So is that similar for the likes of Hyundai and Kia models in India as well?
Not be able to comment as of now because it is highly competitive scenario. Right now we are in participation of RFQ. How the business decision will happen, we will leave it to the customer.
Got it. Understood, sir. Thanks so much for the opportunity and all the best for FY26.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sanket from Ashika Stock Broking Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So my first question is on AC mandate. As government has already started this AC mandate from June itself, so what is our contribution in on end-to-end entry truck in Q1 out of this 45 crores revenue which we are having from commercial vehicle segment?
So we don't differentiate revenue by the notification, because this notification started on just middle of June only. So it has impact of only 15 days as of now. So next quarter we'll see a large impact of this. But as I mentioned before, that of this incremental opportunities, we have already secured a business share of around 44-45%. So I think next quarter you will have a better clarity on this.
Okay, sir. Sir, and how confident are we in achieving market share above 50% in end-to-end entry truck segment? And I want to understand, like, how are we differentiating with respect to our competitors in this particular segment?
So when this notification came, the time available was very tight for the OEM to transition into AC cabin, because we got hardly 8 to 9 months only. So based on the workload distribution, the OEM has decided different suppliers. So it is not by the competitiveness, it is mainly by the resources and the timeline available. So as I mentioned before, right now our focus is whatever models are allocated to us, we need to service them. When the transition of any model change or the cabin change happen at the OEM end, that time we will have more opportunity to increase our share of business.
Sure, sir. So my third question is on our capacity utilization. So as of quarter four, our utilization was somewhere around 80-85%. So how are we planning to fulfill our near-term demand backed by this tailwind as well?
So capacity utilization, of course, is around 85% and it has now reached to 90% also. That's why I did mention before that new project which is at Kharkhoda, we are setting up 500,000 of new capacity and also debottlenecking the capacity at our existing plant also. So we are able to, we would be able to increase the capacity in line with the customer demand by next year. And subsequent to that, whenever there would be further delta required, the projects means the plant size are enough to take care of the additional capacity expansion in next 3 to 5 years.
Sure, so that's great. So my last question is on our long-term goals. So I want to understand, like, what is the long-term goal with respect to outperforming the industry? So do we look to add any further products in our existing portfolio, or we are looking for any further JVs or acquisition in order to sustain this kind of a growth?
So market is good enough for us to realize the opportunities, and I believe market this year will be moderate, but the next 3 to 4 years, much more opportunities are available. Existing product expansion, adding to the new features, aligning to the new platform of the OEMs definitely would be add-on opportunity for us. We are also working on increasing the content per vehicle by adding few more products. We'll let you know as and when we finalize our arrangement for the new products to be introduced. Right now, there is no plan for further JV or acquisition, but we will update you as and when there is any progress on.
Sure, sir. Thank you, sir. Wishing you all the best.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. I think we are in the mid of a very disruptive era, and we need to be watchful of how this geopolitical and economic scenarios happen across the globe. Definitely any disruption in any part of the world will have impact on India, but it will not be very severe because India domestic consumption is very high, so that is a point of insulation for us. But we need to be watchful on that. But on Subro's side, our efforts on improving our operational efficiencies, margin, growth are intact, and we are confident that we'll be able to sail it through. Thank you so much. Thank you to all.
Thank you. On behalf of Batliwala and Karami Securities Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.